This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again and welcome to Member Care Media, produced every day and brought to you by TWR Trans World Radio. When someone offends or hurts us, our immediate response is to get even. That's not something you have to think about. It comes naturally to us. And what doesn't come naturally is leaving our anger behind and trying to repair the broken relationship. The Bible gives us many illustrations and formulas for keeping our relationships in good repair and for restoring those relationships once they've been damaged or broken. And if there is an effort to repair the relationship right away, most of the time there's forgiveness in the friendship or the work relationship, maybe even stronger than it was before. But often we lack the courage or the will to make a positive move, and the longer we wait, the harder it gets. Well, over the past few weeks, pastor and author Dr. R.J. Wagoner has been walking us through the chapters of his book, Repairing Broken Relationships, and here is Jay with the final chapter, When Offenders Do Not Repent.
Today we will look at one final aspect of forgiveness in regard to its importance in maintaining relationships, specifically, what do we do in cases where an offender does not apologize or repent? Everett Worthington Jr., a psychologist, marriage counselor, and recognized authority on the subject of forgiveness, who has authored and co-authored over a dozen books on the subject, had his research become an exercise in reality when someone broke into his mother's home and murdered her. Worthington reacted in a decidedly human way. He describes his reaction in a Knoxville News Sentinel article. He says, "I saw my nephew's baseball bat propped up in the corner of my brother's house, and I remember saying, 'I wish I had whoever did this here right now. I would take that baseball bat and beat them to death.' I was furious." Well, Worthington's reaction was indeed a natural human response. We have all experienced a similar desire for vengeance of one kind or another. However, we are not free to act on such desires. We have scriptural examples to the contrary. Jesus, when he was crucified, said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Remember Stephen, as he was about to be stoned, said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." In both cases, there was no repentance involved on the part of the offenders. Yet in Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, we learn there that Jesus says that we ought to rebuke those who sin against us and forgive them if they repent. How can we reconcile Luke 17:3 with the previous examples? Obviously, two different situations are in view. We are obligated to forgive those who repent. This requires a complete restoration of a relationship. But what of those who do not repent, such as those who crucified Jesus or stoned Stephen? We cannot forgive them in the same way, but we do have certain obligations. What are our obligations to the unrepentant? Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21 identifies these obligations. To those who have offended us, but who as of yet have not repented. There are two specific obligations outlined in these verses. The first obligation that we have toward an unrepentant offender involves not seeking to get even. Consider Paul's words in verses 17 through 19. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." We are not to return evil for evil, as if we were repaying a debt. The word repay here means to fulfill an obligation. It's used in the sense of repaying a debt. The further admonition, "be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody," has reference to our public testimony. We should maintain a good testimony by refusing to repay evil for evil. Thus far, Paul has emphasized our obligation in two ways. Now he adds a third admonition. He says that we should endeavor to live at peace with everyone. Each of these admonitions contain present tense imperative verbs. God commands us not to return evil for evil at any time. When we choose not to get even, we are not dispensing with justice, but simply leaving its execution to God. We are not to avenge ourselves. Instead, we are to allow God the opportunity. This is what Paul means when he tells us to leave room for God's wrath. We are to allow God the time and space to dispense his judgment. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. The desire for revenge comes naturally. It is instinctive. It does not require a decision-making process. But leaving vengeance with God requires a conscious choice of the will. In a limited sense, this is a decision to forgive an offender. However, forgiveness in this sense is not restorative. Restoration would require repentance. It is rather a unilateral choice of the offended party not to respond in kind to the evil that was done. Everett Worthington's story again illustrates the point. After his initial desire to kill the one who murdered his mother, Worthington had to come to a decision to forgive. Being unable to sleep over a period of time, he eventually came to a resolution. These are his own words. He says, "I know as a Christian, if I confess my sin, I will be forgiven of it, and I know the relief that comes as a result. If I can feel this way by being forgiven, who am I to withhold such forgiveness from a person who harmed my mom? At that point, I was able to release him. I haven't been burdened by that unforgiveness since then." In making a decision to forgive, Worthington advises making one's commitment to forgive tangible. He suggests two things. Number one, he says, tell a friend or partner or a counselor of your choice to forgive. Another thing he suggests in making it tangible is literally writing down or writing out a certificate of forgiveness stating what you have chosen to do. Our second obligation to the repentant offender is kindness. We are to repay evil with kind deeds. Paul, calling to mind Proverbs 25:21-22, makes this clear in verses 20 and 21 of Romans 12, where we read, "On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It's not enough to simply renounce getting even. We are obligated to repay evil with kindness. Paul puts it in very practical terms. We should meet their needs, whatever needs they have. If an enemy is hungry, we should feed him. If an enemy is thirsty, we should give him a drink. Any offender who has not repented has placed himself in an adversarial position. In a very real sense, he is an enemy, and we owe him kindness. Both verbs, feed and give drink, are imperatives, meaning they are commands of God. Both are also present tense verbs, meaning that we are continually under these obligations. A Christian should be known for his benevolence toward those who mistreat him. Of English clergyman Thomas Cranmer, it was once said, "If you want to get a favor from him, do him a wrong." We should so live that the same could be said of us. The purpose of meeting an enemy's needs is stated in the latter part of verse 20. It is that in so doing, we will heap burning coals upon his head. At first thought, this sounds like vengeance of some sort. In reality, it is an appropriate way of producing shame and repentance. Heaping coals of fire on someone's head refers to an Egyptian custom of demonstrating public contrition. A person would carry a pan of burning coals on their head to represent shame and guilt. It is the believer's kindness that eventually leads to this end. In August of 1998, researcher Tamara Ferguson of Utah State University presented to the American Psychological Association the results of a study in which she asked 384 college students to recall instances of someone making them feel guilty. An AP story by Malcolm Ritter, published in the Charlotte Observer, provides us with the details. She checked on three categories of technique. One involved direct assertions, saying, "That's not fair," or, "Do you know what you've done?" The second included indirect ploys, or giving hints through tone of voice. And the third introduced the topic of apparent kindness, saying things like, "It's all right, I forgive you," or "It's not your fault," or "You don't need to make it up to me." When the students reported an incident that produced lingering guilt, the guilt trip was usually delivered through this third category, the kindness category. So it is important to remember to repay evil with kindness. The end result is to produce shame, to produce guilt, a recognition of fault in the other person. Fulfilling these obligations in regard to an unrepentant offender is difficult. They run counter to our nature, but it is the only way we can effectively deal with an unrepentant offender. So let us put aside all desires for vengeance and be kind to those who offend us.
Thanks, Jay. In reality, we should be kind to everyone in every situation, but as you say, it isn't easy, and in many cases, it's impossible without God's grace and His love in our lives. Thanks to Jay for condensing your book, Healing Broken Relationships, just a little so that we could fit it neatly into this four-part series for radio. Dr. R.J. Wagoner is senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church in Willow Spring, North Carolina, and is a frequent speaker at conferences and in seminars.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.